homeroom already? Aw, coffee, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slucker, yeah, early Monday morning. I know those of you out there who wait for this drop to come out as soon as you can get it. Well, here we are. It's homeroom. And, you know, it's just like, I don't want to after this weekend and after last week, fellas. I just can't do it today. I can't do Elon and Musk, you know, tit for tat. I just can't do the tit for tatting. And thank goodness I followed through and finished that statement. Because I see you guys laughing, thinking, oh my God, did Tim just say what it sounded like he was almost saying?
You and your Elons and your Musks. I don't need that.
Okay. Musk, Trump, Elon. Enough already. There'll be plenty of that. Elon and Musk. Okay, now I see where you guys are laughing. Hey, you know, only half a cup of coffee down.
It's Monday morning, Tim. It's okay.
It's Monday morning. But Johnny, you know, Catherine Lake of Civic Media sent us, you know, somebody who listens to the show occasionally too on Thursday mornings. I show up on John and Gordy's show to talk a little bit about busted pencils. And there was a listener who sent an email about, well, she said broken pencils, will allow that to pass and go, it's busted pencils, not broken pencils. But bringing to our attention a letter from a superintendent that really was, to me, the most incredible sign of leadership that I would just, you know, love to see more of. And you know what I'm talking about? I mean,
I'm excited about this.
Okay.
I didn't get this email. So if you can share a little bit about this.
Yeah.
This,
yeah. This we've got a listener email, you know, and it was just bringing attention to a letter that was sent by a superintendent. And I understand the superintendent wanted to remain anonymous because, they had a real issue with the executive order in the April 3rd memorandum, which was that note that kind of said, hey, stop doing all the things that are good for kids and families and schools, because that's a problem. And I just want to quote from that a little bit. It's, you know, to whom it may unfortunately concern at the U.S. Department of Education, thank you for your April 3rd memorandum, which I read several times, not because it was legally persuasive, because I kept checking to see if it was satire. Alas, it appears you're serious. You asked me as a superintendent of a public school district to sign a, quote, certification declaring that we are not violating federal civil rights law by apparently acknowledging that civil rights issues still exist. You cite Title VI of the Civil Rights Act and then proceed to argue that offering targeted support to historically marginalized students is somehow discriminatory. That's not just legally incoherent, it is philosophical Mobius strip of bad faith. Let me see if I understand your logic. I'm going to just do a couple of these. If we acknowledge racial disparities, that's racism. If we help English learners catch up, that's favoritism. If we give a disabled child a reading aid, we're denying someone else the chance to struggle equally. And if we train teachers to understand bias, we're indoctrinating them. But if we train them to ignore it, we're restoring neutrality. And Johnny and Jacob, the superintendent goes on and on and kind of finishes with, No, I'm not going to be signing your certification. We're not interested in joining your theater of compliance. We're not interested in gutting equity programs. We're not interested in abandoning our legal, ethical, and educational responsibilities. We are interested in teaching the truth, in honoring our students' identities, in building a school system where no child is invisible and no teacher is punished for caring too much. Sincerely, District Superintendent. And I just thought, man, we got to bring that, because absolutely, I missed that. Yeah, I missed that in April. What a powerful letter, right? Leader. It's leadership. That's leadership right there. So
absolutely. And you know, I think looking at the letter now, thanks, Jacob, for forwarding it along. But looking at the letter, you know, and I absolutely love the statement in it. It says, you know, yes, we're prepared to fight this in the courts, in the press, in the community, in Congress if needs be, because their district will not be remembered as the one that folded under pressure, but rather to be remembered as the one that stood its ground. And here's the part that I thought was just so powerful. Not for politics, but for kids.
Yeah.
And you know, when we advocate for kids, it is political. But I like what the superintendent here is saying, that, you know, we will not allow our children to be the battlegrounds, the cannon fodder for the attacks on democracy that this administration is making. So, like you said, Tim, excellent leadership. I thank the listener for sharing that, because what a powerful thing coming from their neck of the woods, which is, listener, all of our necks of the woods, right? As we're under this kind of direct imposition to do harm to children. Right. And so, like, that's like the antithesis of the oath we all take as educators, is to do no harm. Well, this is certainly one of those moments where leadership says, no, this is not what we're about. In fact, it is the opposite of what we're about. So we will stand our ground and we will exercise and practice our civic duty in speaking truth to these powers.
Yeah, so I wanted to just I wanted to bring this up on this Monday morning to kind of go, you know, let's actually find something positive, empowering, inspiring, because there's a lot to point out that's horrendous, horrible, sad, maddening. And yeah, you know, it's time. And so I just saw this and said, you know what, let's start this Monday with an example of what we can do, of what we're supposed to be doing, and hopefully inspire our listeners to be in some way like this in superintendent, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a community member, and pointing this out. And yeah, Johnny, for sure. I mean, this is from listener Mary Lou Crace. Mary Lou, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention, because somehow after April 3rd we definitely talked about that memorandum that was sent out, but I missed this superintendent's letter. And you know what, maybe I'm glad we did miss it, because to bring it now as the school year's ending, it kind of says, hey, go out, take your summer break, and listen to what leadership around public education and the value of kids and the work that we do. And man, let's think about how we're going to come back in the fall. Enjoy your summer, but here's something to go out on. Here's what leadership looks like. Here's what we can do. This is our responsibility, Johnny.
Well, and Tim, I don't think we missed it. You know, it just came through the pipes last week, right?
So yeah. No. Right. I just meant
you grabbed it and brought it in perfectly to start our week off. I think it sets that tone for this week being a week of us saying, hey, we've been reporting on what's going on, but how are we also, you know, showing solidarity to those who are standing their ground, right? Yeah. And doing that work of democracy, exercising their civic responsibility and our duty to say, hey, this is not what we do, and therefore we won't be doing it.
Right, right. Well, and on that, I got a cup of coffee out there waiting for me. I'm going to go grab that coffee. And Jacob, you got this, right? You know, I'm going to do my best, but I'm not sure. It might be Starbucks is a little up the road. So I'm going to go grab my coffee, But wanted to put that out there.
Class in session this week, Tim. Thanks for busting pencils with us.
Yeah,
can I tag in?
Thanks, guys.
Yes, yeah. Jacob, you're in.
All right, let's go. See, now, Johnny, because I'm taking over Tim's spot, I get to bring out my soundboard, my ever-expanding soundboard I've been putting together.
That's what I love. I love when the soundboard make the scene.
Yeah, that's what gets me going on a Monday morning, is the opportunity to delve into the 14 pages of sound clips I've found that I like to play on the program. But, Johnny, I guess we also have to talk about something of substance I think people want to hear on the program. Where do you want to take this from where Tim was introducing? Because I think there's so many different ways we could go. That letter has a lot to it, and I think it broaches a lot of subjects about activism, about standing up for students, about being able and willing to express your beliefs even in a time where it could be a bit trying. So what are you thinking, Johnny? Where do you want to head with this?
Well, yeah, I think it's just that where we left off with it. It's, you know, it's setting the tone for the week around what's happening in our world right now, especially locally. And it's saying, nope, that's not going to quite work for us. On Saturday, we got together and we talked about, you know, Harvard's legal or lawsuits against, you know, the Trump administration's attacks on Harvard and our optimism that the courts will uphold, you know, that it is not the right of an executive order or, you know, of Donald Trump and the administration to, you know, make these kind of attacks on free schools, right? And I don't mean free like that they don't cost money to go to, but I mean like in a sense of freedom.
Yeah.
Like we are, you know, and so that's one example of this. And then today hearing about the superintendent's letter, you know, really speaking about that these things aren't just cuts in the budget. And they're not cleaning things up.
Yeah.
They're detrimental to the success of our children, right? And they're harmful. They're doing active harm in our schools and in our communities. And so I think by and large, what we have talked about here plenty on the show too is how we know that listeners out there, you listening, of course, you're tuned into Civic Media, you're grabbing podcasts from Busted Pencils. You know, we're probably oftentimes preaching to the choir. But by and large, what we know is that the people in our communities have been voting in favor of public schools. So we are in real disagreement here in terms of our legislators, or, you know, our elected officials representing the values of its constituency, right? And so that's another thing I just want to highlight is like in our community, people support public education, but yet it's continued to be harmed in ways that I appreciate, and it's unfortunate that it has to happen, but I appreciate this letter that was shared from a superintendent by one of our listeners that said, you know, we will not stand for this kind of harm. You know, in fact, what you're doing is unacceptable, not only to us, but to a democracy. And so it's these little pockets where people are organizing to say, hey, even if we might not identify as like the same in terms of, hey, I might be a Democrat, you might be a Republican, where we have often found common ground, especially in the current moment we're in, is that our public schools really matter, right? And so how are we organizing around reducing the harm and the impact on our local economies and our communities and essentially the children, right? We're having these conversations for them. They're the future. Right? Yeah. They're the ones who are going to be the citizens in our communities. And I feel I'm an optimist, Jacob. You know, I'm a glass is half full. Even when it's like almost empty, I'm like, it's, you know, just a little bit more towards half full. But, you know, I'm an optimist. So I believe this is a unifying space and we're in a time of needing unity. Right. And our public schools is where we agree, but where we also healthily disagree. Right, where we can have diverse thoughts on things, where our students can learn multiple perspectives. But at the core of it, they're learning that it's important to care about one another, to care about our community, as part of that, care about our larger region and the world. Right, so we're developing a certain set of skills aligned to a worldview that represents democracy. And so that's our common ground. And where we've been misled is that it's become a battleground. Our schools unfortunately, have become a battleground, and our students, the cannon fodder of this, you know, the ones, the collateral damage in this, the students, because it's become more of a debate on, well, is it this political party's set of beliefs or this other political party's set of beliefs? What happened to, and what we know, what happened to where we meet in a common space in interest of the common good to underwrite, ensure, right, that democracy is strong.
Yeah.
Right. And that includes multiple perspectives. So I love that as sort of a setting the tone for the week, right? That we have, you know, listener who sent in that letter from a superintendent who said, you know, fundamentally, we take an oath to do no harm. What you're asking us to do is harmful to all of our children and to our futures. Yeah, we're not going to do it. Just letting you know now, politely and in advance.
Johnny, I think it's with human beings, we've advanced a lot. We've gained a lot of technology. We have structures of society and structures of power. But ultimately, so a lot of what a human being is we're still monkeys. And I think our monkey brains have a hard time understanding things the further away from us they get. So when people think about, schools, they're all institutionalized with the same thinking, and there's discrimination that goes down in schools. Well, what about the schools you went to? Well, the schools I went to were fine, but I mean, in general, schools were like that. The same, you know, you ask people, what do you think of Congress? Oh, 4% of people like Congress. How about your congressman? Well, I like my congressman, of course. You know, oh, people who aren't from here, they scare me. What about that guy you work with? Oh, he's great. You know, the closer it is, we get to know things and we have a more honest and accurate impression. But the further away it is, the harder it is for us to conceptualize that, well, those guys over there are pretty much just like the guys over here. And I think the same thing happens when we look at a big problem or a big talking point like education, big word, versus, oh, well, in my community. So you make all these moves. The Trump administration, the president makes these big sweeping decisions to change a policy. But for the teacher and for the administrator, it's about me and this kid. And I see how that thing that you did is impacting this kid in front of me. And I think everybody, regardless of how you feel, whatever your political views are, I think it should be admirable to see somebody in a small situation in their life, in their world, what they can control, stand up for people in that classroom.
Jacob, man, I love what you're laying down. You couldn't have said it, you know, more directly. When we think about democracy, essentially, if we boil it down to its simplest definition, it's decisions being made by those impacted by the decision. And in theory, that's what we do when we elect, you know, representatives in a representative democracy. It's like, hey, we learn about them. We tell them what our concerns are and what we want them to take to centralized locations like the capital of our state or to our nation. Right. And so we say, hey, represent the constituency, represent our beliefs, our views, our needs, you know, and don't just argue for those, but take action and implementing and representing the local. But I love what you said, Jacob, and it reminds me of why schools are so important, is because the further the decision making is away from the people who are impacted by the decision. Right. Just think about it as simply as you put it, the further it is away, the harder it is to participate in it, and the more likelihood of it not representing us occurs. There's more opportunity for lobbyists or for other interests to say, well, now that you're kind of far away from the, you know, the constituency, let me tell you how I need you to advocate and what we need in this particular bill. So this brings up, Jacob, that democracy really is only its strongest when it's highly decentralized, right? When it's people who are impacted by the decision, making the decision, right? And of course, there's all kinds of procedural stuff that has to happen to make that possible. But we think about this historically, and like, it always gets attributed to New England, but I know it exists in other places around our country. But we think about like town hall meetings.
Yeah.
And local democracies and our civic engagement for schools. We talk about this, like Wisconsin, you're big on this, your school board elections and around the country, school board meetings, places where we come together to talk about what's happening in our schools and our communities, and we're part of the decision-making process. When the decision-making process is local, Jacob, we have human capacity. You brought up our species, and even, you know, primates in general have this capacity. That's one of the beautiful things about, you know, science has taught us about primates. You know, big ups to Jane Goodall and like all the research she did, you know, with primates. But what we know is that we as human beings have great capacity to care for one another. And Jacob, the magic is when we're together trying to solve a problem locally, this comes out. And I don't think we need disaster for it, but we see it in terms of when there's a flood or when there's a tornado, big storm and destruction, that members of a community aren't saying, well, who did you vote for?
Yeah.
Right. Or what's your favorite sports team or what church do you go to? Right. Those aren't the instincts we have. We have great capacity to care for one another. We also have great capacity, right, to do harm to ourselves and one another. That's sort of the human condition. So when we're together, Jacob, we build this thing called reciprocity, and you nailed it. That's why I love farmers markets, right? Because when we're buying food from the producers, right, I'm thinking about how their well-being is doing, and they're thinking about my well-being, because they're not going to serve me something that's going to make me sick, because I know them. We're in community together. I just shook hands. I just said, you know, good morning to essentially a neighbor. They might not live right next door to me, but we share the same watershed. We experience similar weather. Our kids play in extracurriculars or essential curriculars together, right? When we're in community, we're building our capacity, right, to lead with that best foot forward, to be there for one another. So, Jacob, I love what you're saying, because when we work together, when we have those opportunities to be around one another, right? And it's also, I'll throw in there, sometimes it doesn't have to be sports, but I'm a sports guy. Jacob, I know you love sports.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the thing that brings us around together, when we spend time together, both in good times and in bad times. We learn about one another, and we give ourselves the opportunity to make decisions as those impacted by the decision being made. So the further away that decision-making is, right, it erodes our capacity to practice democracy. So big fan of that, Jacob, that point you made. What are the differences between centralized decision-making and decentralized decision-making? And what it comes back down to for me all the time is, hey, let's just emphasize the local. Of course, a series of locals make up the larger, the global.
Yeah.
But if we know who's around us, and if we're accepting of the people around us, if we're listening to diverse needs in our community and figuring out together, ooh, this is a tough challenge, but let's get together and make these decisions. Our schools can be that place where not only we learn to do that, but we do that. And I see that happening with school boards, school board discussions, school board elections, right? And the further we get away from the local, the more opportunity there is to misrepresent us locals. And we're seeing that certainly as we're like, hey, wait a minute. We support public education. But then it goes all the way to Madison or all the way to Washington. And the decisions aren't made in representation of the locals. How did that happen? Well, it certainly wouldn't happen if we were making that decision outside in the park where everybody, you know, convenes. No, it's made far away, often behind closed doors. Well, that's not democracy now, is it?
Johnny, if I could put sort of a bow on that idea.
Yes, sir.
We've talked on this show about legislators taking away school lunches from kids. And I would say that it's about a million times easier to sign a bill that will take school lunches away than to look a kid in the face and take his lunch away. Unless you're Stephen Miller or something. But I think absolutely. For almost everybody.
Yeah, you summed it up. You put a bow on it. Or to be the one serving the lunch, you have to say, nope, sorry.
Yeah.
You're not eating today. Right? No, it's distant. It's not centralized. So it's not school lunch people. It's not students and families and communities. It's not the people in the schools who are being heard and having that real need represented. It's far away, Jacob, and you nailed it. Even when it's reduced to a number where we're going to save this much. Right? You can't reduce human experiences to a number. And when you do, you're creating that distance to sort of, you know, make that decision a little less inhumane. It's still inhumane, but it's less because, you know, we're just signing a bill. It's a piece of paper far away from kids who are not going to maybe learn well that week because they didn't eat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I like that. Way to put a bow on it. And now it's time for Your Moment Is In. They have the guns. We have the poets. Therefore, we will win.
You read that one like Winston Churchill, Johnny.
I love it. Oh, gotta love that. Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Homeroom today. It's Monday. We're getting the week started, right? Remember, you could grab other podcasts filled with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the Civic Media website. You can always find us at BustedPencils.com. Remember, you gotta grab this week's class in session on a Wednesday, and you come back around and listen to us on Friday for producer Jacob's Choice. That's a banger of a show every Friday. And of course, you can catch Busted Pencils broadcast on Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.